Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. We're back. We've had a holiday. It wasn't much of a holiday, I have to admit, but we're here. Joining me to discuss the week's Macintosh news, the veritable panel. Starting off, of course, with our Don
hello, McAllister. Bjorn.
How's it going, mate?
I'm all right. Can't we talk about helicopters this week?
Yeah, we're going to do a podcast on helicopters, aren't we? We need to do a build with lots of time lapse. Yeah.
Well, I spotted a couple of your videos on YouTube, and you inspired me to go ahead and take the plunge. So I've been having a play with
the plunge being the operative word from what I saw on the video.
Yeah. It's all good fun.
Is it all fixed, though, now? Didn't break much?
It didn't break. It just sort of landed very heavily, but no, it's fine.
Okay. Did you look at the tri-prop things, the link I sent you?
I did. I haven't ordered them as yet, but yeah, I might give that a go.
This is the man who orders everything from Apple on day one at £1,500, and he won't order 2-3 quid props.
Yeah, it's not that. Just in case. It just reminded me. It's on my list of things to do.
There we go. Next to him, first of the month, so it must be Adam from the Maccast. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Good to have you on again. As ever.
Thanks for having me, as always. This is kind of too much in my face, I think.
The first of the month always kind of rolls around a bit quick, and it usually catches me out. I'm sitting there going, oh, Christ, Adam's on tomorrow or the day after or something, and I end up reminding myself at short notice.
That's all right.
I'm glad you aren't as useless as me.
Well, that's up for debate.
Yeah, okay. Beneath in a new office, a brand new office, that's terracotta. It's Kelly G.
There you go. New office.
Excellent, mate. What are the doors at the back there? Is that a cupboard?
It is, and it is a ridiculous cupboard.
Go on, because
well,
it's a TARDIS. There's actually a hall on the other side of it.
You know, remember? Wow, my video is crap. Remember how I was broadcasting to you from the couch next to the bar earlier in earlier episodes?
Which has a certain appeal.
Which does. For those playing along at home, you may remember the wall of wood. The wall in that room with the television on it is the wall opposite the doors behind me. So when I open the doors behind me, you will see the Wii, the Xbox, the receiver, the DVD player, and the other DVD player, because instead of having them out front under the television, they've all been wired through the wall to now sit in this cabinet. So that's why this cupboard is ridiculous.
We're all envious. That's the way it should be.
It houses a crazy amount of technology, and the only time it is a concern is when we're trying to watch Lord of the Rings, because you have to get up and come in here to swap discs.
Right.
Nerd world problems, ladies and gentlemen.
Nerd world. Do you have to leave the doors open, though, because of the heat generation?
So far, not yet. We've been keeping an eye on it. And even with the amp and the Blu-ray player running, it hasn't been a problem yet. If it is, we'll probably get a little fan to put in there. And when we do, I'll probably make that my pick.
you need to air condition it. Don't mess around, girl. Jeez.
Yeah, well, right now, it hasn't ever been warmer than what it is in the room, which has always been a little bit cool, so it's not a problem.
Okay. They do live in Portland. It's not really warm there a lot.
Sun never shines.
Oh, it does. It's going to shine today, and if it does, we're going to be in trouble because I don't have any curtain on my window yet. So if I go completely ghost-faced, it's because the sun came out today.
Is it an entrance to the Batcave, says Booker in the chat room? There could be a suit that you slide through in there, but that's a different story and that's a private thing.
Well, it's a different cupboard is what it is.
Good girl. And joining us for the first time in several weeks, another podcaster, it would seem.
Whoa.
Look at you.
He's got a little smug grin on him. Well done, Greeny, mate. That curry tasted all the better, I'm sure, afterwards.
Not just audio podcast, the video podcast has been uploaded as we speak.
So this is the gold one that everyone's been bugging about.
Yep. It's, trouble is, it's 45, 50 minutes long, right?
That's a lot of video.
I know, and it's 400 and some odd meg to get it decent quality. Don, how do I make it smaller? What do I do to the thing?
I'm listening with all ears as well.
Handbrake. If you run it through Handbrake to compress it to, you know, smaller size or...
I think I did, yeah.
He's not using Handbrake. The problem is what settings for Handbrake, because there's so many settings.
True.
That's the optimum is...
Can you not just talk slower?
No. What, so that 15 frames a second works properly?
I could do, couldn't it? Or talk faster so it lasts half as long.
If you talk slower, there'll be less information, and it's the information that takes up the space.
Well, don't move about so much.
I worry about information.
Yeah, don't move.
Just yeah, stay perfect. Less.
But the good thing with my screencast is because it's not normal video, it is video, but you know, it's not sort of full motion video. They compress down to like 100 meg when it's a, you know, 30-40 minute show. So it's all the pixels moving about in the background that make all the difference. But so if you keep perfectly still and just, you know, move your mouth.
I will say that I've got a follower on Twitter, Darren.com, and he's a self-professed handbrake ninja. So I've done a little bit of video to send over to him that I'm going to Dropbox him today, and he reckons he can get optimum out of that. So whatever the settings are that come back, Will, I shall pass them on.
Oh, that'd be good. Thank you. Yeah, because, I mean, it's a nightmare to upload, and it's a nightmare for people to download, isn't it?
Where are you uploading it to, Will? What services do you use to upload?
For the Podbean.
Oh, right. Okay.
But they've got this, they used to do an FTP thing, which was a lot faster, but they've got rid of that now. And it's all, you have to use their sort of Freddy Flash online thing.
Yeah, Libsyn are great, especially for video, especially for downloading video. You know, once you've uploaded it and we start to download it, Libsyn are really good, very fast and very cheap.
So on Handbrake, Dom, what would you...
Or UK2, of course.
Or UK2, well, yeah, well, Libsyn is like a dedicated podcast thing. It's meant only for podcasters, but UK2.net for everything else, of course.
But which one should I choose then? Universal, iPod, Apple TV? Which one do you choose?
Well, I start with the iPhone one. And then I changed the decoming on the picture settings, which helps improve the quality. But then I changed the quality slider down to about 15, and I get it at about 300 for an hour's podcast.
So I slide that one down to 15. Constant quality.
We could do this afterwards.
Yeah. This is exciting.
This is exciting stuff.
It's exciting.
Hello, yeah, Dr. Sorry. Happy Mac. How you doing, mate?
Well, I was feeling better after my week of illness, but I've seemed to have slipped back a bit in the last 30 seconds.
Oh, dear.
A kind of mire of despondency.
You have a massive delay. We're talking 12 to 13 seconds delay on your video, if not more.
Yeah?
No, it's more. It's like 20. You've only just started talking, man.
Oh my gosh!
Well, there's a delay. Don't worry. There's a delay in my life as well. I've started living in 1977, and I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, so's your voice. Absolutely.
Yeah, I have not been well, but I'm.
I'm not saying that desktop presenters slow on the lip sync, but it's 30 years out. Reviews.
Two of the Bay City Rollers coming in here later with their computers.
Shalang-a-lang. We've had some reviews. Thank you very much. Today, we be in the Canadian store because it's friendly there.
Not bad, eh?
Not A. Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic Mac Show, says Ross Craig. This has been one of my favourite Mac podcasts. Ewan and the gang do a great job talking about not only Mac computers, but also discussing iPads, iPhones. The cast of characters that there are in the show is knowledgeable on the subject at hand, even if you are a veteran Mac user or finally saw the light and bought a Mac just the other day. You'll subscribe to this with all the other podcasts that the British Tech Network do. Don't let the name British Tech Network... And then he doesn't finish that sentence. There's also stories about Mac stuff in North America. Being a Canadian, I only wish we had someone from Canada on the panel once in a while. If you can get them over, mate, I'll get them on. Bill Hamster has put in, of all many Mac podcasts available, this is the only one I'd pay for.
Bill who?
Bill Hamster.
Made up name.
Of all the Mac podcasts available, this is the one I'd pay for. So we'll have a chat about that later, Bill. Thank goodness it's still free. Don't underrate Will Green's departures from the straight and narrow. They are a big part of its charm.
Oh, that's nice.
Welcome back.
I never like interview sections because I always get a cane in, don't I?
No. That's nice. No, I read some out last week, mate, and you were much loved.
That's nice.
Yep. Mac shows from Three Lions. Says, always a great panel. Interesting insight and the view of the Mac universe. I'm guessing he's an expat. And the British Store. This is a homegrown podcast. It's funny, lighthearted, and sometimes informative. With a fantastic panel of guests from across the globe each week. If you do already subscribe, I highly recommend you do so now. I'd also recommend you check out British Mac.
Yay!
The Big Show and Mac Geek Yay. Gab. All fantastic podcasts, in my opinion. And Whoops Aubergine, that's another made-up name, by the way, has said, a great combination of news, reviews, and abuse. It wouldn't be properly British without a rambling eccentric, so leave Will Green alone. That man has taken me from knowing nothing to knowing next to nothing in no time at all.
Well, that's nice, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, mate, you are much loved on this podcast. Don't you dare take it. Anyone that has a word, Will Green, you've got to get through me first. Right, then. Week in Mac, iOS 7. There was a story this week. I think, who was it that pushed it out? Tech Radar pushed out something. And it was kind of a summary of all of the rumours and stuff that had gone on. iOS 7 is due. There's lots of rumours that it's badly, badly delayed. Gruber reckons that they've taken people off 10.9 to come in and flesh it out a bit. And they're not saying until September, October for a release for it. Any thoughts?
As long as it's nice, it works.
Say again?
As long as it works.
Okay, well, that's that story done then.
That was we talked about this a little bit on We Have Communicators last night, mm-hmm. and two things concern me. One, them pulling engineers, which they've done in the past. So if that's true, they're going to have a harder time, I think, making that year commitment on the release cycle for OS X,
yeah.
which I think they talked about at WWDC last year. And then, you know, on the iOS side, I'm not so sure that I'm worried about that. And I would agree that I more care that they get it right than that they get it out on some sort of schedule. So the other thing we were talking about is, you know, what is broken? What is so broken in iOS 6? There seems to be this pressure now for all these companies to do these really aggressive release cycles on software updates. And I'd rather just see like a lot of the things that are in there fixed and made better. I don't want a bunch of whiz bang new marketing features and things like that. You know, there's areas in there that they can improve, but I don't know what we're going for. I don't pick up my phone on a daily basis and go, well, it would be so much better if I had X. I don't have a thing that I can say that I'm looking for. So why do we have to rush these things out other than because somebody else is rushing things out? Because, you know, Facebook said they're going to push out updates every month or whatever.
One of the big reasons one of the rumors that people are touting is that because when it was first announced that Jony Ive was going to be across both hardware and software, that, you know, on iOS, it's probably a bit too late in the development cycle for him to get too involved. But people are now saying, well, actually, with the rumored delays, it might be that he's actually already in there, and you know they are making some fairly major changes to iOS based on the design philosophies that he has, etc. I mean, it's all rumor and speculation, but that's one reason why possibly could be a big delay with it.
That's a good thing, Ben. That's a good reason to delay.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
You say that though, Don. I mean, there's a lot of I haven't got the screen shared. Hang on a second. Here we go. That was close. So the internet at the new place is crap then, Kel?
No, I just called back because my video was junk, and now I hope it's better.
No, still junk, but don't worry. It was fine. At least it had lip sync. It wasn't 10 minutes behind Dr. Happy Mac.
It'll never be as bad as that, right?
No. The thing I would say, though, is with Gruber, I mean, if Gruber says something is happening at Apple, I tend to listen, not because I think he's wonderfully insightful. It's because I reckon he's got some pictures of an Apple engineer with a sheep in a bed, because he's usually ends up being right. And he's definitely got to have inside information. He called all the Pandora stuff and that kind of stuff before the keynote a couple of years ago. And if he says they're pulling people off, they're pulling people off. I really believe that, because he's got inside track.
I know it's violent agreement, but I'm totally going to agree with Adam on this. I would rather have something ready than something that hits a date. And the reason for that is because I feel like at this point, much like Adam, there's nothing in iOS right now that makes me go, oh, I just wish I had. Like, it's pretty mature. It's reasonably polished. So I feel like I'm doing pretty well for the most part. It does everything I want. You know, there's things I would still like that aren't necessarily 100%, but they're not things that are keeping me from using my phone. It's not like, oh, if only I wasn't under contract anymore, I would switch to the new Facebook phone in a heartbeat because blah, blah, blah. There's this giant gaping hole in the iOS experience, and I'm just not seeing that. It's not like in the days with iOS, with iPhone OS, when it was lacking copy and paste, when it was a lot more difficult to maybe customize the sounds that things were making. Those are the kind of things that make it a lot easier to use my phone because, like, I don't have to look at it if I don't want to. And it was, so to me, I would just rather have something ready when it's ready and not ready when the calendar says it's supposed to be, or more importantly, when the internet says it's supposed to be ready, because I'm so over tech pundit ADD and everybody going, oh, the iPhone 5 is so over. Let me have a 6
well,
now. It's just dumb.
Having said that, though, I mean, there's a good point in that there's two things to think about, and I think this is where I've he's possibly going to start thinking. The I wouldn't say it's a tired interface. It's not, but the interface has been around in its current form for 6 years.
So that means we need to shake it up?
No. Like, let me finish.
Everybody knows how to use their phone. Let's
Kelly, don't make me come over there. Let me finish. Shush. Okay. So the first thing, it's been around a while. There's a lot of people saying it's due a refresh. It needs something new. It needs some vibrancy added to it, which it's now lost based on the fact it looks the same as it always has. But I would agree with that only on the basis that there is an awful lot else out there which has copied it so much that it's indistinguishable in some cases now from other OS, not to say flavors, but, you know, the wrappers that Android puts on and things like that. The Facebook thing last night, you know, the notification circle has suddenly appeared on Android as well as on iOS now. So it looks very similar. And there was the huge thing about Samsung copying the icons and those kind of things. And I think that's what tires it out more than it being tired itself. Does it need to be look different? I think it does. I think it's at that kind of time.
I think you get there's this cycle of as Kelly says, the sort of the pundits and the continual that there's a cyclical feed into all the Mac news by the Mac bloggers, by the Mac press, forcing this like, oh, it's time for the new iOS. There's this whole stuff that we can't do anymore. And I kind of have a more outward facing look on things because most of my customers just happen to have a computer and aren't first and foremost computer people. And to be honest, I mean, a big chunk of them are not even running iOS 6 on the device that they bought a few years ago because they haven't noticed the little dot in the thing and they don't care. And the thing still does everything they need to do. And there's still a lot of them are still running Snow Leopard and Leopard and Tiger on their machines because they haven't actually even noticed that the machine isn't doing something that they want it to do. And the only time they do come to me is when they say things like, oh, iPlayer stopped working or YouTube stopped working. And you explain to them why and we upgrade them and then they have a bitch fest because everything's changed and then they settle down. But there is this big thing in the world of tech of this, the yearly upgrade cycle and, oh my God, iOS is so ancient and things. But the actual general public, the people with the product in their hand, I suspect to a large degree, just don't give a stuff.
No, adoption rate of 6.13 was something like 70% within the first week.
Right, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's enjoying it, you know?
Whoa. If you're going to call me a lying bastard, just call me the lying bastard on the right point, for God's sake.
Okay, that's still 1 in 3 people who haven't upgraded. That's right. Still a not insignificant number.
And I would say that a large proportion of the people that did upgrade...
I'd say 70% is pretty significant. When I was at school, 70% was pretty significant.
Yeah.
It was passing.
Out of that 70%, a large proportion of those just, you know, there's a button, I'll press that. There isn't a real driver in their life if right. the little upgrade didn't pop onto their machine, telling them that there was a free update on their phone that they could do with one press, they
and over the air.
No, what it means is the remaining 30% live in Cirencester.
I was going to say 28% are DHM's clients.
Exactly.
Now, the thing is with Apple, though, is that they have to really refresh every now and again, even if it's working fine. I mean, the thing with Apple, especially on the hardware side, is they're very, very good at taking a design which, when it's first launched, you know, is cutting edge and looks really, really modern. And then as soon as they bring out the next iteration of that particular hardware device, it makes the older one look dated. And they've not done that with iOS. iOS has always sort of remained the same, and they've never gone through that iteration of making it look more modern or more clean or you know, it's more appealing. Whereas they do that all the time with the hardware, and the software they don't. So they can probably sort of keep all the functionality, but you know, with Johnny Ive's eye and you know, put a fresh lick of paint on iOS 7, and you know, suddenly it's the same thing, but it's all fresh and modern, and people want the new stuff.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Okay, but what about this? Why can't we just let Apple take a breather and maybe, finish things and make sure they all work properly?
No.
Don't make me come over there.
It's my frigging show.
Yeah.
I come over there.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Game Center goes off on my phone. Oh, yeah. It has done this from day one. Game Center goes off. First of all, I wonder what on earth is making my phone make that noise. Then I remember, oh yeah, it's Game Center. And then, you know, Adam caught 10 trout or something. And so then I look at my phone and it says that I have a notification. So I go and I find Game Center. Game Center has a badge on it. I open Game Center and there's four little tabs across the bottom, and not one of them indicates to me why it is there is a badge on the icon in the first place. If it's a friend request, if it's a challenge I received, if it's a challenge I accepted, it doesn't tell me anything. I have to go tap on each of them until I find the thing that wants my attention. Fix it! Number one. That's just one. There's a number of little nagging things that iOS does and that macOS does that I would really just like for them to finish. Oh, I don't know. Maybe they could do something about the current developer revolution around iCloud sync data. Gosh, yes. Don't you think that would be a lot nicer? I would so much rather have that than another iteration of a laptop. I don't need a new Core i12 MacBook Air with 16 gig of RAM welded to the motherboard, and it comes with a hand woven from unicorn hair wiping cloth for the double retina resolution screen. Don't care. Fix iCloud. Make it right. Do the basic stuff and make the services better, because people are going to look at the phone and see the phone as a conduit to service. So when everything I'm using requires iCloud and iCloud is no longer syncing properly, my first reaction is not to blame the phone. My first reaction is to go, how long is left on my contract so I can swap this out for something else?
No, I think
make it right. Take what's there and refine it. That's what Apple's all about. They always have been. They took the Mac and they refined it and refined it and refined it and turned it into something beautiful. The original ones, the little, you know, Mac Classic that used to tell you hello and be your startup screen. That computer went through so many evolutions and it was a beautiful machine by the time they were done. Look at the evolution of the iMac from the gumdrop to the Olsen twin thing beauty that it is today. And look at that evolution and how, I mean, the hardware stuff they've got nailed. Now take what's inside the computer and make it just as beautiful, just as solid, and just as wonderful as what you've got on the outside. Right now, they don't match.
You've upset her. You know that, Ewan, don't you?
I think she's... Kelly,
here's me getting down off my soapbox now.
I was going to say, we're going to have a whip round afterwards, get Kelly a chair and get her off that frigging soapbox. I think the point is, this is the first instance where Ive has been allowed to influence design on iOS, because it's all been forced to let Eddie Q, up until this point. So I think that's why there really is a wholesale change coming, and it will be worth the wait if they make it work. I agree with Adam on that one.
And well,
wait, with Johnny Ive in it, he's just like, yes, you are brilliant, make it look nice, but listen to Kelly, and don't just make it look nice, because actually making it look nice is the easy bit.
Yeah, but no, but design is also about functionality, because the ergonomics of where your eye goes, where your finger goes, what's the next intuitive step has to be in his thinking. He can't not be, otherwise he wouldn't have got to where he currently is.
I mean, that is the bit he is good at.
Exactly. So So that's what I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
To the table.
Will, do you want to put in a comment? Do you want to blow a kiss out to Johnny?
Well, I myself, since our last conversation, have upgraded my 3. Is it GS?
3GS. Yeah.
To an iPhone 5.
Ah, good.
Hey.
Just before the 5S. Well done, mate.
Yeah, I know. Well.
That means it's totally coming in the next month, right?
Exactly.
Cha-cha. And I, functionally, I see very little difference. I think it's an ugly phone. It's lightweight. It's. I'm not very, you know, the reason I went for it in the end is because I've spent so much money with Apple and sort of my whole tech ecosystem is purely Apple-based that it would have been harder work to go with somebody else rather than to go with Apple. But to be honest, that's the only reason I went with Apple is because of sort of my existing Apple tech. I mean, if you talk about the Mac, I absolutely love the Mac, always have, always will. I love the iPhone in the early days, but it is a little bit boring now. And this new version is. I like the Siri thing, but it's a bit gimmicky. I don't know. It's all thin and thin, isn't it? It's thin and thin, long and thin.
Thin and thin.
Yeah,
thin and thin. We have a title.
How entertaining does a phone have to be?
Mm-hmm.
How entertaining?
Sorry, DHM, lag that again.
How entertaining does a phone have to be?
Very.
And why? Yeah,
because it's an entertainment device.
It doesn't have to be thin, though. I liked it when they were a bit heavier, a bit chunkier.
I would say that the iPhone is an entertainment device that makes calls.
It is. Yeah, true. I was explaining to a customer the other day when they said about when we're talking about it, and I said, "Well, basically, it's a miniature computer that makes khaki phone calls."
About it, yeah.
Yeah. The thing that surprises me that they seem to have done a complete turnaround on is this yearly upgrade cycle for OS X, and I don't know what the reason behind that is. Whether or not it is because they're constrained on resources and they've had to put people into iOS 7. But I really did expect to see an update to Mountain Lion this year, you know, in the first quarter of the year anyway, because of the way they launched it last year. And I think they actually did say they were going to go to a yearly cycle, didn't they? Or am I just imagining?
They did. They said we are going to put a new version out every year, so we're expecting whatever the next thing's going to be.
Well overdue. Now, I mean, you could speculate again to say, well, perhaps they're bringing forward the, you know, more integration between iOS and OS X, or, you know, it's going to be another few iterations before they do bring them together. But it just seems really strange that we've had this long lull since November, really, of no major announcements. And
it's like they deliberately gave the media a noose. I mean, if they turned around and said, we're going to commit ourselves to a when we're damn well ready release cycle, everyone would have gone, okay.
Okay, yeah.
Because they've come out with this thing from last year for just because they obviously felt pressure to do it, then now they've got themselves into this situation where they can't do it, they've got nothing to deliver, and they've got something else to be getting on with anyway.
I think it's disgusting. I think when people promise that they're going to deliver something either on a monthly or yearly basis and they don't, it's absolutely disgusting, disgraceful.
When did they promise that to you? When were you promised yearly? Tell me.
Kelly, stop. This is greedy.
What do you mean?
This is Greeny is self-deprecating, I would suggest.
Self-deprecating is exactly the word.
At that point.
What does that mean? Pooing in your pants?
No, it means that you need to close. You stay too long in the bathroom. Chat room's gone off on one. Kelly's put down in the chat room, but she's too afraid to say it on the podcast. I like big phones and I cannot lie.
No, that was Greeny because he was talking about wanting it.
Well, he doesn't like the big phones, though. He likes the small ones. He likes the 3GS, didn't he? There were some other good points as well, but I can't find them.
That's
now.
What we were looking at.
What else have I got? Someone made some good points. I can't find them now.
That was me. That
the chat room moves too fast for me.
Gone on too long.
I'm old and slow. Exactly. Hey. It was Kelly
Here's
made a point. Kelly started. See, look, she's on again. Go on, Kel.
Because you paused for breath, so I took an opportunity. What did you think was going to happen? Because I've got a whole Kelly other cup of coffee here waiting for you.
Ellie, come on, get on with it.
Okay, can we just talk for a minute about even though there are shortcomings, even though there are things that Apple isn't doing that, you know, of course I wish that they would do, can we just talk for a minute about how maybe it's kind of nice for a lot of people who are not us to be using a mature platform, to be using something that has been around for 5 years? Is anybody that you know still using the same phone, aside from iPhone, the same phone they were using 5 years ago?
No.
Nobody.
I was about to say, though.
Not even necessarily the same company. It may not even be the, you know, not everybody has stayed with iOS for all five of those years. So, you know, it's mature. It's reasonably polished. There's no gaping hole in functionality that I can find in iOS. There are things that I want to have happen, and there are particular issues that I have with specific apps on the system, but there's nothing in it to me that is as a normal user. If I was going to hand an iPhone to my mom, I would feel really comfortable doing that, because anything she buys for it is going to continue to work for the most part. And it makes me feel better to know that if I was going to give my mom something where she could check her email and do Facebook at the same time on her phone, that it would be something that would be easy for her to use, easy for her to figure out, and I can be reasonably certain that basic stuff isn't going to break on her. And it isn't going to have anything to do with, oh, you can't do that on your phone, mom, because you bought a Samsung. Oh, you can't do that on your phone, mom, because you're with AT&T. We don't have any of those problems. And that makes me feel a lot better about the platform. So I don't know why Apple has to announce something every 6 months. If it's just because we're bored and we need a new junky hit for the tech people, that's crap.
That's not what we're saying.
And I say that as tech people.
That's not what we're saying. That's a hell of a rant for something that we weren't saying, Kelly.
No. Dawn's up there saying it's been 6 months and, you know, we have
No. I was going to say, in counterpoint to Don's point about Mountain Lion, is that actually, at the moment, it's nice. It's a calm, stable platform. Everything just works. It's ahead of the curve on the processor speeds and the rate of the technology and functionality. And it's good. It doesn't need updating for me. I don't need 10.9 at the moment. I'm very happy with what I currently have. There is nothing which doesn't run. There is no point where I'm looking at any of the computers that I've got where they're struggling to process what I want them to do. Leave it be.
Well, and you feel the same way on iOS, or you don't?
No, I feel the same way on iOS in terms of processing, but I think in terms of interface, There's a real need for an overhaul, because it looks very samey. Yes, it's been a long time in the way that it looks. There's too many people have copied it now. Therefore, it doesn't stand out. It's not iconistic anymore in the way that it shows to people, which is a big part of what Apple have always done. They've always stood away from everyone else.
And I'm okay with that too. Sorry, I didn't. Go ahead.
No, and I just think they need to change the way that it functions. I think they need to think of associations of applications rather than folders. If I've got an association of applications, this screen doesn't just go left to right. It goes up and down as well as. So why have I not got things in four aspects around single icons as opposed to left and right only? And those kind of things. I think that ergonomically there's more that they can do with it. And I'm hoping that Johnny's got the handle on that. So what are you going to say there, Adam?
So all I wanted to add to that is, you know, I'm fine on the UI side. I'm fine on them polishing things up there and changing some things there. As it's more the features and functionality that people are talking about, you know, in terms of bringing new feature sets. And I'm totally in agreement with Kelly, and I'll take it maybe even a little further, is that there's some core things. iCloud is definitely something they need to address and fix. They need to be working on giving tools to developers to make apps be able to interact with each other better. There needs to be, you know, I'm all for the sandboxing that they've done, but it's time to start addressing some of the problems that brought along in terms of functionality from a user standpoint. And the UI is going to go hand in hand with that. And I think that is something that Apple's focusing on. They, you know, last year when they retooled the whole team, the whole upper management and the teams, the whole focus is on this integration between hardware and software. I think in the Ive story we heard this week, it wasn't just that, you know, he's taking over some of the design things, but also that he's starting to bring hardware teams in earlier who weren't involved before on prototyping and doing the software portions within those prototypes so that things are going to work together better. And so getting back to the original story that we started this whole thing on, this idea that they're going to stick to these schedules and they're going to have to pull teams off of other projects and things like that to meet these deadlines, I think is what we're all just sort of frustrated with. It's just like, let's give these teams and these really smart people the time and the ability to address these things, to bring us beautiful interfaces and get it all right, and then give it to us. But I just fear that they're going to rush out. Oh, we've got this really good feature. It's not that finished. Let's bring in this other team who hasn't been working on it. We got to get them up to speed.
No.
And then they're going to release it, and it's just not going to be the way we want it. And then they're going to get hit again. So they're going to get hit for not bringing it out in the tech press. And then when they bring it out and it's half-baked and half-finished and not working right, they're going to get slammed again. So I'd rather just take another 6 months and do it right and fix a lot of these things. And file system, we could talk about that for the rest of the show. I mean, those things need to be addressed.
I think here's what follows on from Don's point, and where Don's correct, is that if you look at the impetus of why they've pulled people off 10.9 to put them onto 7, they're actually pulling them off to get it done. Yes, there's an imperative of time, but I don't think they're running towards a deadline that's perceived by the journalists, because they've never been one for satisfying journalists' nature. What they're actually saying is, well, you know, in my mind, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, 10.8's working just fine, so let's leave that alone. Let's take those guys, let's shove them onto 7, let's get that working, let's get that done properly, and then we can at least hit close to where we should be on the cycle for our own minds.
Yeah.
That's why we're not getting line. If that's the case, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. My just concern is they did say at WWTC, we're going to put out a new version of OS X every year. So if they're going back on that, I think that's wonderful. Yeah. But no one's aware of that, and they haven't said that to be the case.
The thing is, though, and I think this quarter has been, I think it's deliberately been quiet this quarter. I think they are actually doing, you know, this is planned that they would have this quiet quarter, or however long it's going to last for. With the impetus to get all those products out at the end of last year. I really felt when they did that
clearing the boards,
when you know we had the new iMac and the new iPads, etc. It really felt like a clearing of the decks, right? You know, this is all our, because literally they refreshed the entire product range within 2 or 3 months and got everything out there. And that felt to me at the time that was very much a, you know, clearing of the decks and let's move forward. And the thing about being frustrated about new operating systems not, you know, being out when we expect them, that it's not so much that I really want the new and shiny, but you know, if they do fix these problems, the only way they're going to introduce them is in the next release of the operating system. So it's not really, I'm sort of getting frustrated that there's not the new and shiny. You know, I also want these things to be fixed, but the only way they're going to get fixed and they'll be delivered to us as fixes is in a new operating system. So it's a frustration with, waiting for them to deliver those fixes. And the only way they're going to do it is with an update to the operating system.
There's some points in the chat room here. 10.6, 10.8, 10.7, 10.5, they were all the versions of Vista for Mac, apparently. They can't decide themselves. Maybe 10.9 will be maybe 10.9 will be pushed out with the new Mac Pro. That's a good call, because that's due any day, isn't it, if you're talking about the...
I think all bets are off at the moment, because we just don't know what they're going to do.
Jimmy the Greek in the chat room says, here's a question for the panel to discuss. Could it be that the next Apple event will just be WWDC?
Will WWDC be in June? Will it be pushed back?
December event. Loads of Christmas cheer.
Honestly, this is the weirdest sort of quarter we've had for a long time, when we just really don't know what they're up to. And
As announcements go, yeah.
Yeah, just amazing.
They've got rid of the shackles of Macworld, perhaps, though, in that expectation of a January event, finally.
I think a lot of the stuff that's happening in the tech media and the press is because Apple has suddenly gone back underground again. And it's interesting that, what was it last year, Tim Cook said they were going to double down on their security stuff. And we really didn't see it last year, but it's kind of feeling, I'm starting to feel like this first quarter, it's like nobody really knows what's going on at Apple. Everybody's speculating about a lot of stuff. And it feels like, you know, back in the old days, we didn't have all these leaks and stuff coming out. I mean, people are still getting leaks, but it seems much more nebulous. Like, we think this is happening, or the rumor is, whereas before, you know, a lot of places were getting a lot of leaks right. And I don't think we've seen that this quarter.
Remember in the olden days, the only way that you knew something was accurate was when the site that posted it got a takedown notice from Apple. That used to be the only stamp of legitimacy was, oh, it showed up on this page, and now legal action from Apple. We have Jim Dalrymple. Yeah, now we have Jim Dalrymple and Three Little Letters turn something into being, but he's it. You know, what's the beard say? Like, yeah, you know.
We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. Amazon has released...
One last thing.
Yes, mate.
But one tiny thing. What Adam said is that the biggest omission for me in iOS is no file system at all. Seems mad to me the way they're doing it now. It's archaic, isn't it? You have to drag files onto a particular application in iTunes to get them to work. And vice versa.
I think it's that's mad. Firewalling, though.
I mean, if you created like a pages document in iOS, and then you could do file save as, and you could save it to your Google Cloud or your Apple Cloud or wherever, or the internal system, or you could get it to synchronize with your Mac automatically when you got back into a Wi-Fi zone with your Mac. That to me is like the big pink elephant in the room saying, you know, Apple, why haven't you done this? And it's almost too late now. And I think that's probably why, or a good portion of why they've lost the momentum. Mm. Yes.
Good man. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. Amazon, I mean, this could tie on with what we were just saying there. Amazon have released their new cloud drive app. It's available for Mac and for Windows. And also there's an iOS application out there. It allows file sync through the files at your fingertips from any computer or iOS device. I've got to say, I mean, I put a question in the doc here. Is this a killer move? Because I think if Apple can't get their cloud services integrated and working, which follows on from what Greeny's just said, I wholeheartedly agree with him in terms of the functionality of it. I think the one thing I would say, though, is that... Is the file lockdown on iOS more security based in that's the route in, that's the weak link in the chain fence? But if Amazon have got this process that works, that goes across platform, across OS, then it could almost make Apple's cloud services almost irrelevant, no?
Aren't they already irrelevant by the nature of us having Dropbox? I mean, that's what I use. And what we're talking about here is ubiquity. And that's why it's so frustrating for developers and users that Apple can't get this whole iCloud thing together. Because if they can do that, they're going to own it for their platform. And that's really the way it should be, because they have the most access. So they could deliver the most functionality, the most seamless experience by the nature that they have the software and the hardware. And so that's what's really frustrating about that sort of thing. So developers have globbed on to these other services. The problem is that they're all fragmented. So I like all these services. We've got Google Drives, and we've got Dropbox, and we've got Amazon Drives, and we can do all these things, but they're not integrated with all my apps where I need to move files back and forth between. So we need something that's seamless and cohesive before we have a true thing that's going to work in the platform. And these services get around some of that sandboxing stuff, but they're still a little bit clunky and kludgy. So I think we just need something. Everybody wants something more elegant, and Apple's the best position to deliver it on their platform because of its closed nature. You know, on Android, it's a whole different story. But for us, you know, for us Apple and Mac users, it's Apple's the only one who can really deliver that seamless platform. So it's great that we have these other tools, and different developers have options to pick and choose. But the problem is ultimately for me as an end user, I've got to remember, oh, that's in Dropbox, that's in iCloud, that's in, and it's a mess.
No, but I mean, you say, I agree, you know, if they can deliver, that's fine, but they've never delivered. They've never got close to delivering. If you look at iWork was an awful hash.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. No, I I had to do this talk for my user group on Wednesday. Just this week, I did iOS file management, which is like a joke. I even opened the topic. I said,
"What did you do the second minute?"
Something that doesn't exist. So this is going to be a really short presentation.
I was going to say, "What did you do the second minute?"
The thing is, though, is that the annoying thing is that most of it's been done deliberately. I mean, the whole iPad iOS lack of file system. You know, it's like it's definitely something they've imposed. And I think they've gone a little bit too far in trying to make everything into a silo, because, you know, normally you don't work the way that the iOS file structure works. You know, you don't just have an application with a single set of documents. You need to interact. And I think they've probably gone too far with trying to silo everything. I can understand why they did it. And, you know, if you're not a savvy computer user, if you're a mom or pop who's never, you know, used a computer before, you can go to an iPad and it would seem fairly natural to you. But as a standard computer user who's used to a file system, it's really hard. And it's probably one of the, you know, as Will says, it's probably one of the things that is really stopping the adoption of the iPad as a really serious computer platform. It's been adopted in business, etc. But, you know, to do something really powerful with it,
but it's encased,
you need this interoperability, and it's just not there at the minute. And it is a shame that, you know, because I can do lots of things on the iPad, but when I need to do some real work, I nearly always have to go across to the Mac to actually do it, because I need the multi-windows. I need to be able to exchange information between applications, and it's just easier on the Mac.
Will, I mean, you've done a lot with Google in the last year. I mean, would you say that Google are looking longingly and thinking now's the time to kill Apple in the cloud field, because they've got much more infrastructure, much more availability, but equally Google don't seem to be able to make it link?
I've always thought Apple and Google are a sort of strategic partners, really. I think Google really own the cloud with Amazon, but, you know, in the main, I suppose, as Google. Apple has been messing around now for years with its various incarnations of cloud stuff, which is all a bit of a joke, really, isn't it? I mean, the only thing that iCloud is useful for, really, is finding your iPhone or finding your iPad. That really is all it does, isn't it? I mean, the iTunes thing is okay.
I rely on it for. I mean, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have that. I mean, the setting up the Google stuff is just too tricky. I know you can do it, but for most users, it's kind of crazy. But
yeah, I must say, yeah. Me and my wife, both our entire businesses run around iCal syncing and sharing between different accounts, which is spectacularly flawless.
It is good.
I don't think I've ever had an issue with it.
But the interesting thing, though, DHM, is that my work calendar is shared on my wife's MacBook, so she can put in dates for me. She can put in things that, you know, do not book a date or something like that for a parents' evening or for a holiday. And the thing that's really interesting is I use iCal because iCal just seems to do okay, but it's not particularly great on OS X. But what do I actually use as the calendar that I have day to day? It's a Gmail calendar. It's a Google calendar. It's not iCal. Because I can't.
It's in iCal.
It's in iCal, but it's a Gmail calendar, and I cannot be bothered. I really want my dot Mac calendar is crap.
Google calendar in iCal. Export the calendar, create a new calendar under iCloud, and import it back in again. 30 seconds, you're done.
Yeah, but why bother? What's the point?
Exactly.
What's doing that?
Go to CalDAV. Go to get this. Thank you very much. Done. One step in comparison to yours. Why do I invite you on here, DHM? Jeez.
Yeah, but that's because you've got an existing calendar.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, me and my wife, we started with iCloud. We set it up, and I put my work calendar on iCloud, and she put her work calendar on iCloud, and she shared to me, and I shared to her, and it works. I mean, not to say that the Google calendar doesn't work, because that works too. But the one of the things you can't knock iCloud on is calendar syncing. That is fairly nailed up.
Oh, big deal. How about that? Look at that. Isn't that fantastic? I'm going to choose Apple for my enterprise business because it works all right with Calendar. I'll tell you what.
iCloud documents is like nailing jelly to a wall, but apart from that...
Fight.
Well, look. This is the way it is. And this is... this is not biased. In enterprise or even sort of medium and large business... If you talk about cloud computing and you talk about Apple, it's a joke. Nobody's going to go there at all. In fact, let's be honest, Apple in enterprise computing is a bit of a joke, full stop, except for...
user interface.
For iOS and also workstation type.
Point of sale scenarios. User interface. Yeah. Exactly.
So why doesn't Apple just give it up and sort of work with Google and bring that sort of file system into their iOS or
for once OS. On we will.
Hugely benefit from a drive system like Google Drive. If there was an iCloud Drive where you could see your pages, documents, your your numbers documents in their little cubby holes. But even better, I think Will's right. I think, you know, apart from the calendaring.
I think you have to take a step back here, and when I know Apple always gets panned for iCloud, and you know, they can't do the web and, you know, the rubbish and all this. But you've got to bear in mind, yes, they're having a few problems on the document side at the minute, and the developers are up in arms that they can't get iCloud to work properly with their documents. And I think it's known that there are two iClouds. There's the iCloud that Apple uses for their own applications and for their own services, and there's the front end bit for the developers, which they haven't got right as yet. But you have to remember as well that, you know, that if you just think about the amount of transactional traffic that Apple do, the how seamlessly you can pick up your iPhone and, you know, you've got 12 applications that need updating, that it's already worked out what needs updating, and you can press a button and it will download and install those applications seamlessly without you having to do anything. There's the whole iTunes infrastructure, you know, the all that data that gets transferred from the web to all your iTunes devices, to your Macs. You know, they have, and I would say, yeah, iCloud, as people think of it traditionally, has got a bad reputation, and they still need to do some work on it. But, you know, at the back end and the engineering they've got for their other systems, it works pretty flawlessly. When you consider the scale of the number of users and devices that Apple actually manage on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's a bit unfair to say the rubbish at web services and cloud services. Yes, they need to improve, but they're certainly not, you know, they certainly have some credentials in that sphere.
I've got a client called Ian McLeod. Apparently, according to iOS, I know 25 Ian McLeods that have the same phone number, and I go into iCloud on my iCloud address, iCloud.com, and I clear out the 24 Ian McLeods that I don't know and leave the one in that I do know. And 3 weeks later, I've got 10 Ian McLeods back, and then 6 months later, I got my 25 Ian McLeods back, and then it stops at 25. Well, and just I go back in and I clear the other 24 out. And he's the only one.
Yeah,
he's the only guy in the whole of it. But I own 25 Ian McLeods.
Well, just be thankful it's not your credit card that it's happening to. It's just your contacts. So.
Yeah, be grateful it's not important shit. It's just shit.
No,
thanks, Don.
They'll get there eventually.
They won't. Look at their past record. I mean, what was the early one? What was that one?
Even before that.
iTools. Come on.
That, wait, it was like a picture of a world, like a little city. What is that called now?
GeoCities.
No. It was their online thing. It was like a little picture, and you could click on the various bits you go to. So you go to the shopping center and do stuff, or you go to the library and do stuff. What was that called?
Is he talking about Watson?
Habbo
Hotel? No.
Or Sherlock, no. I mean. Sherlock.
No. None of that.
You mean E-World.
E-World, there you are. Thank you very much. Oh, E-World, right? Failure. Absolutely.
He's going way
failure.
Back.
Sherlock. I knew it wasn't failure. Cyberdog, and I couldn't figure out what the other one was. That's all. I'll have more coffee next.
Yeah, but look, I mean, Compu, it's like, whatever, was it CompuWorld or
CompuServe?
Failed.
CompuServe didn't fail. I mean, if you look at the amount of people who took that up, CompuServe and AOL, they were the daddies. And then Apple tried its bit, and it was a failure. MobileMe, what was that dot Mac thing?
Didn't CompuServe do us the GIF?
iCloud. Huh?
Didn't CompuServe give us the GIF?
Yes.
Yeah, it did.
There you go. See, CompuServe gave us the GIF.
Apple cannot do it.
Darren in the chat room says file structures are archaic. I wouldn't want them on a mobile device anyway, but I'd like better sharing between apps, much like Android offers.
That's the thing. Yeah.
That's the hang-up. It's that's not why a file system. A
it's file management, and those are two different things in my mind. You know, Apple needs to get creative and address how to work within the environment that they've created. So I think that's all I'm asking for is, we need better tools. Developers need better tools to have integration between apps. And what seems to work best right now is some sort of cloud service. And so that's why I keep coming back to fixing the problems with iCloud. But if they can do it in another way that works for developers, then that's fine too. But however they do it, they need to figure it out. You know, it's just dumb that I have to do like 20 clicks to get a file from one app on iOS to another, and I end up with copies in both places, and it's a nightmare.
And Batwinch in the chat room.
Let me just jump in real quick with what Adam's saying. It doesn't even necessarily have to be sharing a file amongst other things. It could be just something that's very utilitarian. My day job is working at support for 1Password over at AgileBits. And on iOS, there is no way to take a username and a password, say for an application, like say I want to log into Facebook, the Facebook app on my phone or the Pandora app on my phone. I have no way to do that. I have to remember the username, copy the password, and then switch over to the app and enter that information more or less by hand. I can copy and paste it, but it's a manual process because there's no way to pass that login off successfully to any other application. Since most of what people do with 1Password is use it for logging into websites and web services, there's no extension functionality built into Safari on the mobile device. And I'm not saying that I want that, but at this moment, the alternative is that Agile had to build their own browser for people using 1Password to use so that the login gets handed over successfully to a web browser that can actually use it and then fill it in. And so it's really frustrating because a lot of people who don't, and this is another one of those things, this is where people don't know any better. People don't know. So they're very used to their Mac experience and they get to their iPhone and they go, how come I can't fill anything in Safari on my phone or in Safari on my iPad? And it's because Apple has tied developers' hands and there's no way to do that. Even if it were to be a hack, even if it was something where we're absolutely trying to keep everything secure, there's nothing that we can do at AgileBits to make that a better experience for people. All we can do is a bunch of work Apple has already done and reinvent the wheel and build our own browser into our application so that it's something that people can use seamlessly.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Batwench in the chat room says, is Ian McLeod of the Clan McLeod? Because if he is, surely there can be only one. Well done. Well done, BW.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about him. Very good. Right. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. We say every week, I know it's getting boring, but they're not boring. They're great. They provide fantastic web services. Anything that you want, I guarantee you they can give it you. And you get a discount code through coming through our network, through our sponsors link on our sponsors page. So go to bridgetechnetwork.com, click through to UK2 and support them. I'm hoping that Craig is going to be coming to the Bash. He's tentatively suggested he might be, so it'd be good to have a chat with him. You can say what you think and you can feedback on, give him your thanks for supporting the British Tech Network. We go away if they go away. The unlimited bandwidth that we have, you know, we've kind of taken it for a bit of a ride during the course of the year with downloads. We're going to take it for a huge ride soon, hopefully, and do our own streaming from it. Please support UK2 because otherwise we disappear and we lose all that bandwidth and we couldn't afford it. It's 500 quid a month and we haven't got it. So thank you very much to UK2. We're lost without them. And while we're on the subject... UK. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And while we're on the subject, the Bash. The Bash is on Saturday, the 6th of July. It's a Saturday. It's not a Friday anymore. So you don't have to book a day off holiday. Even better. Someone sent me an email this week saying... you're charging £20 for entry. Do you think you're bloody Glastonbury or something? No, it's not an entry ticket, okay? The £20 isn't to get you through the door. The £20 is to spread the cost of us eating and drinking all day between everybody. And if we all put in 20 quid, then we've got a chance. Last year, I walked away a little bit out of pocket, not too bad. We'd have been absolutely sunk without the support of TechSmith. We need sponsors to come in. There's food to buy, there's beer to buy and all that kind of stuff. And the idea of the £20 ticket is for 20 quid, you will get all your food and all your beer for the day. All you've got to do is turn up and stay. That's it. It's not an entry fee. I am not trying to be Glastonbury or Nebworth or anything like that. I promise you.
Sounds like a good deal to me.
There will be a band, perhaps, but there will be. Now, I've also, people are, we sold a lot of tickets. We're up to 40 already, which is fantastic with only a couple of weeks. But if you're waiting to buy your ticket, do bear in mind, because I'm sharing the cost amongst all of us and I'm organising it, I've got to book a caterer. I've got to book a person to provide the bar. So, you can't all come at the last minute and buy, I can't sell 100 tickets, 200 tickets in the last week and expect you guys to actually get anything because I can't change a caterer. So I need to book a caterer sort of minimum 6 weeks in advance. So if you're going to come, buy your ticket now. The money will go into a PayPal account that will just sit there, and I'll pay the caterer deposits and that kind of stuff. All I'm doing, it's like a Christmas fund, a Christmas hamper fund, if you like. You pay your money, I keep a hold of it, and I give it out to the people that can provide us all our food and beer, and that's it, all right? It's not an event. Sorry?
I'll run the bar for you if you want.
Yeah, but there won't be any for anything else, mate. That's the trouble.
Can we contribute if we're not going?
Yeah, you're more than welcome to. Buy a ticket if you'd like and be there in spirit, mate, if nothing else.
Awesome.
Adam has other plans that weekend, if I recall correctly.
It's Nerdtastic or something, isn't it?
Nerdtacular. I'll be in Utah with a bunch of nerds having a good time. That's a great event, too.
Jeff Gamet's coming over, though, he says.
Is he going to?
Yeah, Jeff is looking to clear his schedule and get himself
over. That was a rumor.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard he committed yet. So.
No, he hasn't committed yet, but he's planning on it. He's planning on it. So, the Bash is
Veronica
on Saturday.
Belmont and Tom Merritt and all those cool people will be there.
No, Jeff's coming to the Bash. Stuff your Nerdtacular thing, mate.
Oh, Jeff's coming to the Bash. He's even better.
He's coming to the event, not your event.
It's not my event, anyway.
Anyway.
Just something I go to.
Saturday, it's the Bash. £20 a ticket. Under 12s are free. The Friday night, the night before, at 9 p.m. at the Kismet Curry House, the best curry house in the world, stay silent, Greeny, there will be a curry. The curry will cost you whatever you buy, but you need to just give me a deposit to make sure that you secure a seat and a table, because otherwise Milam's going to book the place out and we won't be able to get in. So £10 reserves you a seat. What he's going to do is put us all in clumped seats, so sixes and fours and that kind of stuff. We'll all be in the same area. And at the end of the night, when you get your bill, your table will get a bill minus £40 if it's a four seat, £60 if it's a six person seat, and so on. It comes off your bill at the end. So, but then you'll have to settle with the rest of your table to for what's left over. But you need to pay for that separately. So, Bash is £20, curry deposit is £10, but you get your £10 back on the night of the curry, and the curry is at 9 p.m. So, don't book a flight that arrives at 10 o'clock. At Birmingham Airport or anything, because you'd lost then, mate. Utterly screwed. Don't do it.
I think I might come in the camper van. Then I can do the curry, kip over.
Yeah, you can stick the camper van on the drive, mate. Stick it on the drive, mate. No worries at all.
Will that be like a gypo living on your drive?
You will. You might get rights, mate, that I can't then evict you afterwards.
Yeah, that's a good
point. There, I bought my ticket to the Bash.
Oh, mate. That's very kind, Adam. Thank you very much, mate.
Hey, you guys have a good time.
We will.
I encourage other people to do it as well. Because the more we support, this is supporting community. And, you know, with my show and the whole thing, I'm big on community. That's what makes all this stuff work and all this stuff awesome. So we should all support each other. And
well, we should get you over endeavors. For next year. Get you over next year, mate.
Someday, I'll make it.
That's exactly what it is. And I have, this is another drum that I'm partial to beating, which is the community, the Apple community, whether it's iOS or whether it's macOS or whatever it is, there is no group of people who are more supportive, who are friendlier, who will care more. And even in the dark, dark days of Apple, which a lot of people don't remember now, but for those who do, there is nothing better. There's no community that is more supportive and friendlier than the Mac community. And that's why you don't hear a lot about even things like when you talk about putting your money where your mouth is, even on like Kickstarter and Indiegogo and things like that. What you are hearing is all about the Mac products or the Apple stuff, iPhone stands and iPhone cases and cool things you can slap onto your iPhone or your iPad. Those things are happening because the Mac community, the Apple community, is a supportive community. So I will also be buying a ticket to the Bash.
Whether or not
I can get an accompanying plane ticket is going to be another story. But it's something I can do for somebody nice. And then maybe somebody there will get to use the ticket that I bought somehow or another. And then maybe they'll pay that forward to somebody else. They'll gift an app on the Mac App Store or something to somebody and go, you know, that $15 is worth it to me. And that's what we do. And I want to make sure that people know that we do, you know, people like Adam and myself and you and all you guys, we put our money where our mouths are. And that's the reason for it. And that's why we all are still here.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't get that at Google.
No, you don't. Yeah. Greeny's happy because he's just having another beer based on that.
Can you fade in some music over that bit?
I could. It was like... There we go. Now, just before we do the cool things, I want to apologise because I recommended Digital Neg the other week and it worked fine. I got it down and it did. It was great. I had a good time with it. It doesn't work anymore. It's a bag of shite. So if you bought it on my recommendation, send me your Apple receipt and I'll refund you the $1.99 because it is an utter, utter bag of hurt. Don't buy it no matter what you do. Thank you very much. Do apologise. Right. Cool things. Don Mac.
Can I retract one as well?
Yeah, which you want to retract, mate?
Go on.
This is a long line of many for you, though.
Jazuli, I recommended. I bought a pair of headphones off them, right? And some other stuff. The headphones stopped working within the week. It only cost £3. So I said, can you send me some new ones out? And I tweeted how great they were. And I know loads of people bought stuff on my recommendation. I said, can you just send me a new pair out? And I said, yes, we can. But you've got to send the other ones, your broken ones back and fill out this bloody form, and the original packaging and la 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 la. And I'm sure they're a very good company, but I wouldn't buy their headphones.
Okay. Good.
Can I do a retraction?
Oh, dear. Are you serious, DJ?
Apparently, there was this bunch of apps which you could wipe away faces or things on, and I was under the mistaken impression that they were really cool.
Oh, no. What's happened?
I hadn't mentioned them for a while, and I thought I'd be in some kind of half-assed fashion. It's freaking awesome. Nobody's downloading it anymore. So do some more downloading of that.
Are you ready, people? Whatever you do, go on iTunes. Do buy all of the wiper applications from Arswiper Software.
Yeah.
As owned by DHM.
Half owned by DHM.
And Dan Vesma.
80%. And Dan Vesma. He owns some too.
Yeah. Don, have you got a cool thing?
I've got a cool thingy, yes. It's an iPhone application. It's free. It's great, actually. I've downloaded a couple of days ago. I mean, I've got... I had a Fitbit and I can't find it anymore, so that's on by the by.
Uh-oh.
I've had an Up bracelet to count my steps and that's... that bust on me within 2 weeks. But this is a free iPhone application that basically does a similar thing to those devices like Fitbit and stuff. It records the number of steps that you do during the day. It records your location. It's clever enough to know when you're actually traveling in a motorized vehicle or on a bike. Mm. It's really, really neat. And it just keeps track of your movements throughout the day. And at the end of the day, or as you go through the day, it counts the number of steps that you do. It counts the number of miles that you travel on various forms of transport. It's a really nice interface and it's just great fun. And you can go in. If you do a car journey, it records the map of where you started and where you complete it. You can go and you can edit the labels to say where you were. And it's sort of like a running diary of your activity throughout the day. And if you're into fitness, it'll count your steps and your running, etc., keep them separate for you. But it's good fun. It's called Moves, and it's free.
Excellent. It does look like a nice interface, actually.
It's really
very,
nice.
Very pleasant. Cool.
Very well put together.
I've seen it in use, and it's pretty slick.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. As soon as you said about the different modes, I'm sitting thinking, how does it tell the difference? Trying to work out whether the cycle sways and the run.
I don't know if you have to select cycle, running, and walking, but I know if you just jump in the car and drive off, it knows that you're you're obviously not must be it must count the number of bumps and things. But no, it's does most things automatically.
Cool, Adam. What do you have for us, sir?
I'm going to pick a social network, and before everybody groans, this is what I think is the best social network ever. Called Untapped. No, Untapped. Drink socially.
Yay! This is us!
Okay, guys, you need this.
So you get on here, and what you do is every time you drink a beer, they have a list. You can look it up. You can say you're drinking that beer, basically check into your beer, and then rate it, and you can find out what other people are drinking and recommending. It has the geolocation stuff, so you can find out what's nearby that people are drinking and enjoying, so you can go find your favorite beers and it is a lot of fun. You can toast people when they drink one of your favorite beers, so it is a beer social network.
Yes,
which is after my own heart.
Excuse the delay here, but I'm just buying that. Buying in inverted commas.
It's free. Yeah. You don't have to buy it, and you can follow me if you want. I'm MacCast, just like every place else in my social networks. So. Untapped with no UNTAPPD.
Because they're web 2.0.
Yeah. They have an app. They have a website. I don't know if they have a, I don't know if they found a Mac app for it yet, but I haven't gone looking.
It says this app contains age-restricted material. Really?
You have to be 21 or older.
No!
Here's the other thing about it. 18 or older.
What is it over there?
18 over here. 18.
18 or over. Yeah. There you go. I got to remember where I'm. I got to remember where I'm at.
Yeah.
Say again, Kelly.
Also, just use their website, which is very cool. They have a mobile format for the website. So if you are somebody who has an Android device, or you have some other flavor of smartphone where the app doesn't necessarily work, maybe you have the smaller phone you take with you when you go out or whatever, then you have the option of just logging in on the website on a mobile device and then doing it that way, which is something that I think more people need to think of. It's very, very cool.
Excellent. I'm in.
So when you're at the pub, check into your beers.
I certainly will. That might be a frequent, that's where you look back over your history and go, holy crap, I'm drinking too much. Kelly G, what have you got for a skill?
I have what I think is very cool, little Mac application. And it is an app.net client, and it's called Kiwi. And it's lightweight, it's fast. It used to be a Twitter client. It's been refashioned now for ADN. And I like it a lot because it does exactly what it says on the tin, and it does it really nicely. All of your private messages are threaded within the app. You have a few different interactions, and the developers are really responsive. It's your head software, so Isaiah over there is running things, and is totally willing to listen to feedback. And the really nice thing about developing for app.net is they do that stuff pretty rapidly, and they work pretty closely with their developers. So as soon as private messaging was something they were thinking about doing, app.net released stuff and said to all the client developers, is this something you guys want to do? And then like half of them came back and said, we just built it. And so then it became a thing. And it's a single account right now. I don't think there's anything that does multiple accounts for app.net on the Mac at the moment. And it's straightforward. It's very easy to use. You can have it be as obtrusive or unobtrusive as you want. And it's pretty fantastic. So I'm for it. And it's $5. And that's just, you know, keep the lights on. And it's pretty cool.
Excellent. I like it a lot. Excellent. Good pick. Thank you. Adam, you got a friend request.
Thank you. I'm adding you.
Yes. Oh, this is stuff Twitter. It's crap compared to this. Will, what have you got for us, buddy?
A couple of ones. I should say, Jazuli, great company, great headphones and stuff like that, but they just need to look at their return policy for products that cost £3, just to clarify my earlier point. Talking about companies who do online stuff, I really care about... I don't know about yourself, but if you buy an iPhone or something like that, you want the case to be as beautiful as the iPhone. And I really did my research, and the case that I found that matched the bill is this one by Tough Love, TUFFLUV.com, British company. I don't know whether they make their own cases, but they're certainly branded, and it's a proper, real nice leather case. So TuffLove.com if you're looking for iPhone cases. Very good they are. And the second one, another British company, I've mentioned them before, is Freeway Pro or Freeway Express, I think. If you do website development and you're looking for, almost like what you see is what you get, style development, but nicely coded in the background and with advanced features and great support, Freeway, if you're using Dreamweaver and you find it a bit of a pain in the bum, or you're using something that it's a bit basic, I was going to say iWeb, but or something along those lines, and you want to sort of step up, then I'd really recommend Freeway Pro. They just released Freeway Pro 6, and it is absolutely fantastic. Totally recommended it. I've used it for years. Really good.
As a web developer, I'll say that is one of the tools, if you don't want to do code, if you're not interested in doing code, and you can if you absolutely want to with it, but if you're just not, if that's not your thing, it writes some of the cleanest code that I've seen as a developer for like a WYSIWYG tool. So that's that is a great pick.
Excellent.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. I love you too.
Reinforced. That's what you need. DHM, what do you have for us?
I have You remember way back in the mists of the early podcasts, we had a couple of rants about how if you upgrade the hard drive in your 21.5 or 27-inch iMac to something bigger or faster that Apple put in, or you need to do it because it died, and then the fans all spin up out of control because Apple are arses when it comes to temperature sensing on hard drives, and they want you to take it to them. You don't have to, because you can live with the fan noise. Or if you can't live with the fan noise, which you can't because it's rubbish, you can live with HDD fan control, which is a brilliant little app that someone's gone to the bother of writing, but it is a buy app.
It's worth the money, though. I've got it.
HDDfancontrol.com, and you download it, and it takes over the temperature, uses the smart temperature sensor in the hard drive, which is what Apple should have done in the first place to control the fan speed for the hard drives in your Macs. And it means that you're no longer beholden to Apple and their stupid, you must buy it and use this drive and only we can fit it.
And surprise, surprise, the drive and the board don't melt.
No, they don't. Weird, isn't it?
It is weird, isn't it?
It's bonkers.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And it's brilliant. And it's just like, you know, I know, and I do agree, and I don't, you know, Kelly's heartfelt thing about the Apple community was like was spot on. But, you know, sometimes at the other end, you have to remember that Apple is a multinational company that does arse about face things, and then the community comes along and fixes it for them.
Mm.
Little apps like this.
Yep.
Which is, no, Apple, you don't need to be an arse about this. Here, you can have this little app, and we can all be happy again. And you can fit a 3 terabyte drive into your iMac, which is what you want to do because it's a lovely machine and you want all your stuff on it.
Very good, mate. Good pick.
There you go.
Good pick. Kelly, thank you for doing the doc, mate. And putting everyone's picking because they're all lazy.
I'm going to go to America in November. I'm going to go to the Mac Tech Conference.
Awesome!
Ooh!
I could get...
Is it still in LA?
Sorry?
Is it in LA?
No? It is, but I can get from Heathrow to LA for £496 with Virgin, so I am.
Oh, I'm driving up then.
I'm totally
and okay. It's only, and there's an early bird registration on the conference itself, which reduces your price down from $1,299 to $899, and I can take a Macintosh hardware certification test which covers the price of the conference.
Okay.
Nice.
Jolly good.
So, I haven't been to America before, but now I'm going to America.
That's awesome. I will buy you a beer.
Your wife's away this weekend, isn't she?
Noticed. How was it, dear?
Yeah, he's not going to be there, guys. Don't book a car yet.
Left me alone. I'm going to America.
My cool thing, I haven't used yet. I've downloaded it and I've paid for it, but I haven't used it yet. But it does look like it's really, really cool.
After your last pick, you're going to risk it again?
Yeah, no, exactly. I was hoping to have had a play with this, but I've had to go out this lunchtime, which is why I've moved the photo show. If you stick around for after the Mac show here, because the photo show is coming straight afterwards. It's an application called The Touch from Arctic Whiteness. It's €20, so that's $22-ish, I think, and it's about £15. It's not a lot at all. They do a free iOS application that turns your iPad into a multi-touch device that you can use with Final Cut Pro or Lightroom. It works off the Microsoft Magic Touchpad or an iPad that's running the application or iPad Mini that's running the application, and basically it gives you multi-touch gestures that you can... it gives a set of multi-touch gestures, or you can program your own multi-touch gestures in for use in the two applications, there you go, including jogging and scrolling and all that kind of stuff. I've looked at the video... And if it's half as good as the video, then it's €20 well spent. So, but I haven't used it yet, but it looks good. It looks good. We'll be back again next week, Friday as normal, back at 3:30, and we'll do the Mac show. And there'll be Mac news, and who knows what else. Hope you have a great weekend. See you next week. Where do you want to get hold of anyone? Sorry, Don.
That's all right. I can finish that. That's the problem.
Dickhead.
Oh, go on. I'm at screencastonline.com, on Twitter as Don McAllister, and also on ADN as Don McAllister.
I do apologise, Don. Did you know that you were picked last night by Paul Wheatley on The Big Show?
Picked? Was yeah, it? Oh, Screencast Online.
Pick of the week, yeah.
Super. Thank you very much, Paul.
Bye, Mr. Wheatley. He said it's great. Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me at the MacCast, also on the We Have Communicators podcast with Jeff Gamet, who does the big show with you guys, I think. Mm. So if you want to hear more of us together, you can find wehavecommunicators.com, and that's more iOS related. And then I'm pretty much MacCast everywhere, so app.net, Untapped, Twitter.
Jeff's on Untapped. I've sent a friend request.
Yes.
I'm on Untapped at Ewan Rankin.
So oh, am I.
Don's on there at Don MC.
Yep. Everybody get on.
Kelly's on there at Verso.
I'm there now as Dr. Happy Mac.
DHM's on there. Right, cool.
Yeah.
This could be the social network.
It's going to go mental at the bash, isn't it? It's going
to
go.
It is. Oh, that's the point. Everyone who comes to the bash is going to be registered on Tapped.
Oh, I've gotten frozen.
They need to be sponsoring you big time.
Nah, definitely. Kelly, where are you, girl?
I am Verso most places, including Untapped and app.net and Twitter. And you can also find me on the Tiwa Talkcast, recorded live on Sunday evenings, West Coast time. And that's pretty much it for the most part. You can occasionally find me on Angry Mac Bastards, but mostly if you want to talk to me, app.net's where to do it.
Good, yeah. Okay. William, where are you, sir?
Well, I'll do that Untapped thing myself. So there, British Mac.
Will Green.
Also, you can get me on BritishMac.com, of course. I'd like to say thank you to Stoneburn.com for if you're interested in cloud-based governance, Google governance, for paying for my time. And finally, you can get me this weekend on Sunday night on the My Mac podcast, which I don't know if it goes out live, but it'll certainly be out next week sometime.
Excellent.
From there too.
Good on you. I'm on Tech News Today on Monday, so with Tom and Ayaz and Sarah. So I'll be on there. See you there. And you can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, or at Ewan Rankin on app.net, or at Ewan Rankin on Untapped, where I will be mostly drinking tiger beer. Have a great weekend. See you next week.